who, why, and how of theater we are making right now.
An inside look at Barter Theater,
a year-round repertory theater in Abingdon, Virginia.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
Theater Matters!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Theater Matters. I'm your host, Kenny Davis, and today I have the great honor and pleasure of being joined by our new producing artistic director, Miss Katie Brown. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, you joined me a couple years ago, but for those that may not have had a chance to listen in on that, and since you're brand new to the role, been in it a couple months now, let's refresh our listeners a bit about yourself.
Sure. I come from Birmingham, Alabama, but I have been living here in Abingdon, Virginia, working for Barter for almost 22 years. I can't believe it. I came here as an acting apprentice for a summer job, and then they had an opening in the touring company, and then I joined the acting company, and then I directed a play, and that was all she wrote. I had never directed a play before, and it brought everything together that I loved: literature, choreography, movement, art, everything, and I was all done. So I've been here. I was a casting director for Barter for 15 years. I was associate artistic director for those same 15 years, and I was also the artistic director of the Barter Players for over 20 years, and have directed about 100 shows at Barter. So I've been around a while.
And we're so glad that you've taken on this new position. When you came on board all those 22 years ago, did you ever imagine that you would be in the spot that you're in now?
Absolutely not. I don't think I even knew that really that you could have theater as a career. I had been taught in school that it was something that you could really only do on the side. And so when it became a viable career and I began to understand all of the economic impact that it has and all of the human impact that it has, that was an amazing transformation for me.
As the director of the Players for so many years, what qualities did you bring from that now into your current role?
I think so much, whether somebody is a child or whether somebody is a grown-up, what they crave so much is story. They crave to be able to sit in a space with other people and be able to get inside of other people's shoes. And that doesn't change about us from when we are little. It's just that younger audiences are not trained to be as polite. And so if they don't like what you're doing, they just shout it out and tell you. But the adults might be thinking that too. So you need to make sure that you are bringing the most truthful, incredible stories that you can, no matter what age the audience is.
Let's jump into our season then, with that idea in mind.
Great.
And sort of sum it up for us, the overall theme, and what you hope to see for this season, and share with us some of the shows.
Yeah. Absolutely. We are doing an incredible season of shows, and we have found that they really center around the idea of home. What is your home? Is home another person? Can home be found in somebody that's very different than you? Whether it's, we're doing The Wizard of Oz, whether it's famously Dorothy looking for her home, or whether it is in Driving Miss Daisy, which we're doing coming up here, starring Mary Lucy and Jasper Magruder, they find that home is in somebody that they didn't even like to begin with. We're doing Frankenstein in the fall, and it's, you know, this creature trying to find out if the person who made him loves, you know, am I beloved? Do I have a home? Where do I belong? And that runs through absolutely everything, whether it is unlikely friendships. We're doing Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, and those ladies at first have nothing in common, and then they come together in this incredible way. Or whether it is somebody finding out the nature of who they are and where they belong, it runs in every single show. And that's something I feel like is so important, because it's something that Barter really has going for it. This place is such an important part of people's heritage and legacy and their home. So we're hoping people will come home to Barter this year.
How have you made this home over the years, and what has made it feel like home?
Sure. I have lived here longer than I've lived anywhere else on earth at this point. And not only is it the fact that I've been here for such a long time, it's the incredibly special people that are here. I don't have to tell you, Kenny, we work with amazing people. The people that live and work here, they work here not to get famous, but because they believe in service and they believe in doing art for people whose faces they know and on the ground where they know the ground as well. It's really exciting and really rare in theater. Usually in theater, you work somewhere for 3 months and somewhere else for 3 months and somewhere else for 3 months. But the people that work here aren't about all of that. They want to know and love the place that they are in. And I think it makes the work better. This also is just such a place of home. Abingdon itself is so beautiful and so welcoming. And one of the reasons I didn't know if theater could be a career for me is because I knew I wanted to live in a place where I could really be a part of a community in a way that sometimes is easier to find in a smaller place. And, you know, Barter is the only regional theater of our ilk that's outside of a city. We're the only one that's in a rural area in the entire nation. It's very special in that way. And I didn't know if that would be possible. I never could have dreamt it up.
Of course, Barter has a long, long legacy. You're only the fourth producing artistic director in its helm here, in its history. So maybe talk a little bit about that, of where you see Barter going, how we preserve perhaps the tradition and the legacy, but also move forward under your new leadership.
Absolutely. I think that Barter occupies this amazing space between the past and the future in a way that really connects those two pieces. All of the things that make it special today are right back into the roots of the place. I love the story of here, the fact that Robert Porterfield made this incredible deal with people here to say, everyone deserves theater. Everyone. At the time, theaters were really only in cities, and he was the beginning of the regional theater movement, one of really only two theaters at that time, two or three, that moved out of cities and said, everybody. And he took it one step further and said, if you have some lettuce that you can't sell, if you've got we've got stories about dead rattlesnakes, somebody milking their ticket, you know, whatever those things are, everybody deserves great art. So that's a piece of our history that we want to move into our future. How can we make our work more accessible? Whether that means that in some of our early shows, in the early run of shows, we're having more inexpensive tickets so that anybody can come. Our first performance of any show is a pay what you can, anybody be able to come. But we're also doing initiatives, so we're doing sensory friendly shows so that people who enjoy a show that doesn't have as much stimulus, maybe somebody on the autism spectrum or any number of things, can enjoy a show. We are also, for every single one of our equity shows, we have an open captioning shows so that if you can't hear the stage very well, you can read every single line that somebody's saying. But we're also doing some initiatives to let people know that theater's for everybody. It doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter. Just come on and enjoy it with us. So that's taking that piece of our past into our future. Another piece of our past has to do with being an Appalachian theater. And that's something that we treasure and we want to move into our future. We're working on expanding our Appalachian Festival. We have an incredible Appalachian Festival of Plays and Playwrights we do every January. And it's just moved to January the last few years. And we are building that out with partnerships around the town to see what are the other things that can be going on during that time of the year to really have a true midwinter Appalachian festival to celebrate that heritage. We also are really focusing on how do we keep the shows incredibly beautiful and artistic, but that we're focused on story. Story first over spectacle. That's also a part of roots here. Story is what has made us great and what makes this region great, and that's what we're here to celebrate. So those are just some of the things you can go on and read more about it, but the idea is to take the incredible things from our roots and to use those things to be the things that propel us into the future.
Another fun thing that has been announced are Talkback Tuesdays, if you want to talk about that a minute.
Absolutely. One of those pieces that we want to move forward, it has to do with communication. I talked to a couple that drives about 3 hours to come to Barter, and they drive in their Subaru, and they see the show, and they drive home that same night because they love what they call the Subaru play. Like the fact that they get to talk in their Subaru on the way home about what they liked, what they didn't like, what did they think about that, how does it change their lives, those kind of things. And I want more Subaru play at Barter. So we are doing every single Tuesday night, if you see a show in either theater, the actors and other artists that have to do with the show will stay after with you, and you guys can have the Subaru play then. Talk about like what the process was like, what are you interested in, what'd you love, what'd you hate, any of those things. We are also, with every single show, going to have an event on a Saturday that's free for people to come to talk more about the show. Maybe they get to meet the playwright, or maybe they get to meet the descendants of the historical figure that the play is about, and we'll have those over in our lounge area.
You mentioned partnership just a second ago. Let's talk about our awesome partnership with Emery and Henry.
I would love to. I love Emery and Henry very, very much, and I got to be on the ground floor of our partnership that we'd started way back in the early 2000s with Emery and Henry. And we have a partnership that allows for a student to come there and also have access to this professional theater. As a theater student, when I was in school, I would have killed for what these students get to do. It comes in many tiers. They get to sit in on rehearsals, technical rehearsals. They come see shows and have specialized talkbacks on very specific topics that they might be studying. They can apply for mentorships. And I've gotten to be a part of some of these. It's so fun. You get one-on-one time with somebody who works here at the theater who's doing exactly what it is you want to do with your life. And you get to work on a project with them and work on your own career. There's observerships, and we also do specialized workshops, maybe on auditions or fight choreography or that sort of thing. So they get access to a professional working theater of the highest caliber while they're here studying their craft. It's wonderful.
I asked you last time, but I'll ask again, because we do for every episode, but then we'll dig a little deeper. Why does theater matter to you?
It has to do with that story piece for me. At every show, I imagine that there is somebody maybe sitting on the back row who needs to hear something that's going to open their life up just a little bit. And I feel like we all need that from time to time, to be able to sit together in the dark and remember what it means to be human. That's why theater matters to me.
More specifically, why does Barter Theater matter to you?
It has to do with this legacy piece. When I was casting for the theater, I got to go around and talk to a lot of theater artists and say, you know, and to find out the people that might be the best to come here to Barter and work. And the thing that I always found myself realizing when I would have those conversations is that the communication between the audience and the theater artists that are here is so strong. The theater, the people that work here aren't here for a short amount of time. They're here to truly connect in that way. And it's a special relationship that doesn't exist other places. And some of you may have heard me tell the story because I've been telling it a lot lately, but only because it's so important to me. There is a couple that comes here from Washington, D.C., and they see theater all over the world. They have season tickets in other major cities, both in this country and overseas. And they said that their favorite place to see theater is Barter, in part because of the way we tell the stories, but they said the number one thing that they love is sitting in the theater watching a show with our audience. They love our audience and how they respond to theater and how much they love this institution and how much they love story. And I think that that is special all the way back to the roots of Barter, that there is a relationship between this organization and the people of this region that is unprecedented.
What are a few interesting things about yourself that the public may not know, but would find most fascinating?
Gosh, I don't know what is what is fascinating about me. One thing that I know that I love, that I'm fascinated by, is visual art. I, of course, love dance and music and theater and literature and all those pieces that go into theater, but visual art itself, I love particularly dramatic, oh, I guess it's probably not surprising, visual art. I spent some time in Rome specifically focusing on Caravaggio and Bernini, who kept both in sculpture and in paint capture these really dramatic moments. And that's just something that I love very, very much.
Let's tackle the Scottish play.
Okay.
And go ahead and tell them why we don't, for those that don't know,
well, we are,
why we won't refer to it as its actual name.
Well, Kenny and I are sitting in the actual theater right now, and it's supposed to be bad luck to say the name of the play, except for when you're doing the play and in the space where you're going to be doing it. So we will call it the Scottish play for today, a famous Scottish king in Shakespeare. But that's what we're starting our season with. And we got a grant for this, and we're very, very excited to be bringing Shakespeare back. It's been a great passion of mine to make Shakespeare accessible to people. I think a lot of times people think of it as a broccoli play, like, oh, I gotta go and watch this serious play. No, Shakespeare is so much fun, and for absolutely everybody. He is birthright for English speakers. And so we have been really working over the last 5 years, and I've gotten to be write every single one of those grants and direct every single one of those plays. It's been so fun, and at every single one of them, I have had an adult person come up to me and say to me, "I did not know that I could enjoy Shakespeare." I even had one man say to me, "I thought I was not smart enough to enjoy Shakespeare." And there is just no such thing. Not true. Not true. Not true. So we're so excited about this production. I'll call it Mackers. But we had an idea, and this is what I wrote the grant on. And it's about the witches that are in the play. So we know that Lady M has had children. We know from one of her monologues where she describes having, quote unquote, given suck, and she talks about this child. But the whole second half of the play is about the fact that they don't have any heirs. There's nobody to be king or queen after them. And so the question's always been for me, where are those kids? Where are those kids? And so we decided to experiment with the idea that what if on the way to the top, she got rid of them because they were girl children. And in our production, they will come back as these witches. So we have these little girls in death makeup who will be lurking around the whole play as the witches. And it is fantastic. I already have pictures of these little girls in their makeup, and they are so spooky. So we're very, very excited about that. I've turned over the play to Carrie Smith Lewis, who is just the best at bringing Shakespeare to life. She has been our text coach on all of the other productions, and she is incredible, and I can't wait to see where she's going to take the show.
More to the point of accessibility, talk a bit about the Green Show.
Oh, you got
that
it.
That our audiences
yeah.
will
something,
experience.
Something that we started doing, and we first did it just for student audiences, but some of our adults started to see it, and they said, "We love this. We want it before all of them." You know, sometimes you don't remember absolutely everything that happens in a Shakespeare show, and it takes just a minute to get acclimated to the language. And so what we do before every single performance is that the actors do a lightning round of, this is what happens in this play, and I'll be playing this person, and this is what will happen, so that you just get it back in your head, because it may have been years and years since you studied it, or maybe you don't know the story at all, who knows, so that you get a sense of, I'm going to be able to own this, we can all be in this together, and then you see the play as it's written.
Are there any adjustments to the set with this particular one? We sort of ripped the theater with Richard III. How about with this one?
The set is incredible. It looks like an old castle that's maybe been bombed out in some way. So they're wearing clothes that are more reminiscent of the early 20th century, but you can tell the place that they're in is very, very old. The play itself is set in Scotland and England, but the way that Carrie has set it, it feels a little bit, it could be the Highlands of Appalachia, it could be the Scottish Highlands, and so that too kind of harkens back to here. But the set designed by Hannah Eichen is just fantastic.
And nods to home, as you spoke of earlier.
Yes, absolutely.
What is it about Shakespeare that is so fascinating to you? What caused your love for Shakespeare, and why is it so important now to continue his work?
I think the same way that you can feel with Barter, how when something is really important, how it echoes back in time and deep into the future all at the same time. You sort of feel that echo with an institution or a piece of art when it rings just the right way. And Shakespeare is like that. Every single time you pour the play into a new set of actors, you get a whole new play. And the themes are so universal. The poetry is so excellent. It comes to life all over again in a way that never seems to get old.
Some of the plays that we're doing this year our audiences have seen in the past. Mm-hmm. So what do we do to keep them fresh, to bring them back in? I know you've seen it before, but you have to see it again this time because...
Well, there's all sorts of new things that we're doing. For example, some of the plays have brand new scripts. While we have done Frankenstein and Christmas Carol in our past, these are brand new world premiere scripts that are going to be really theatrical and exciting. But even shows that we are doing that have words that you have heard before, I've got a different twist on them. For example, Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, our director is setting it or is focusing on the early 80s piece of this. So, oh my gosh, the shoulder pads, the high hair, it really lifts it up and makes it so fun in this wonderful way. Suzanne Boulay is directing that and also directing The Wizard of Oz. And one of the reasons that I wanted her to do that is she has this incredible imagination. And so she's looking at these things in ways that you will recognize and love the story of all over again. But she's able to look at things in a new way that you just never expect. That is wonderful. But we also have a lot of brand new stories that people have never seen at all. We have a world premiere, I think it's just been done elsewhere, but it was started in our Appalachian Play Festival, a play called Country Girls that we're doing this fall. Hilarious look at these two tween girls who decide to kidnap a country star, and it is wicked. We also have a world premiere musical called We'll Meet Again about World War II, and it's based on a true story of a man who grew up in Germany and had to escape during the World War II and actually came to Opelika, Alabama, where there was a prison camp there and all those things. It's fascinating. The music is going to be fantastic. Every song from the 40s that you want to hear, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy on down. So we've got some brand new things you've never ever seen before, and then some new takes on some great old favorites.
And some new casting even.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Almost all of it is brand new casting. The only thing that we dared not mess with in any way, we're doing Driving Miss Daisy, and you gotta have Mary Lucy Bivens and Jasper Magruder because
yes.
I dare anybody on the planet to do it better.
Yes.
So, but everything else, brand new people being poured into these new stories or into these old stories that you'll be hearing in a brand new way. But yeah, don't mess around with Mary Lucy and Jasper.
What are some other fun and exciting things around the corner for Barter that our audiences can look forward to?
Well, we also have a whole exciting season of shows for young audiences with the Barter Players. What kind of former artistic director of the Barter Players would I be if I did not mention those? But they've got a ton of brand new world premieres that we are doing and also a great season. They're kicking off with Peter Pan, a really imaginative version where six people play all the characters. They're doing Junie B. Jones after that. And in the summertime, we're doing Pinocchio and Sleeping Beauty and a brand new play that's never been seen before called Gladys P. Henderson's Superhero, about a kid who finds out that his mom, who he thinks is just an accountant, is actually a real-life superhero. So lots of exciting things going on there as well. One of the other things we've got going on that harkens back to our past is barter days. Of course, we started out bartering, and we still do it now. So if you don't know about that, you can come to the theater and trade for your ticket. We don't keep the money. We give it to a local food shelter, and they come and pick things up. But bring some canned food or other things that you might want to be able to share, and you can come see shows. We do it around our birthday to honor our bartering past, and that's in June. So June 10th at Wizard of Oz, or Grace and Glory on June 11th, or Pinocchio on June 13th, you can trade and be a part of bartering history.
Speaking of history, we've brought back Winter Wheat this year, and there's several reasons we've done that. Go ahead and talk about that.
Absolutely. We're so excited about Winter Wheat. For those of you who haven't seen it, it was developed through our Appalachian Festival of Plays and Playwrights, and it's based on a quote by Elizabeth Cady Stanton, who was a suffragette, who said, I'm not going to be able to say it exactly perfectly, but the idea was that they were sowing winter wheat that other hands than theirs would enjoy. They knew that they would not get to see the vote, but they wanted us to have it. So this was about the vote that happened in about a congressman from Niona, Tennessee, really close to here. And when it came down to deciding if women were going to get the vote, if it was going to be ratified or not, it came down to Tennessee was the last state. And it came down to one congressman who, the morning of the vote, changed his vote to say, yes, women should get the right to vote, because he got a letter from his mama. This is such an incredible piece of history. It makes history so personal. And because this summer is the centennial of that vote, to give us the vote, we are celebrating with Winter Wheat. We'll actually have a performance the night of the centennial in August, but all summer long we'll be playing it. And we found that people all over this area, because it's such a big deal for Tennessee, are excited, and we've got a lot of partners that are doing other things. There's going to be an exhibit at the William King celebrating of female artists. They're also doing an exhibit of suffrage portraiture and photographs at the Martha Washington. There's people having teas that celebrate it. So we're just trying to lash all of that together. So if somebody wants an incredible women's history day or week, they can come to Abingdon, do a million things, and then cap it off by seeing this show that celebrates the moment that we got the vote.
How exciting.
I love it.
An exciting season lined up, and we're so happy to have you at the helm to direct us. And that's all the time we have today. So thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Theater Matters. You can hear this podcast live by going to WEHCFM.com or tune in to 90.7 FM WEHC each Friday at 1:30 p.m. Don't forget to check out all the fantastic things Barter Theater is doing right now. To see the schedule and purchase tickets, visit our website at bartertheater.com or call and speak to our friendly box office staff at 276-628-3991. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again soon.